Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman for DVM 360. And with me, I am honored, beyond honored, to have, I say, the Dr. Antonio Bowens with us here. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor. So you have a great story. There's so much that we can talk about. But I'd just like to know kind of a little bit about your journey into veterinary medicine and then your passion for neurology, too. So how did that all start?
Basically, it started in undergrad. I attended Tuskegee University. And I took, in my last year of undergrad, I took a couple of graduate courses, and one of the courses that I took was a graduate course in neuroscience. And that course was amazing. I got exposed to research as it relates to, you know, AMPA channels and glutamate receptors and those type of things. And it just kind of took off from there. You know, I did some summer research at Vanderbilt and Tulane. At Vanderbilt, I basically did research as it relates to potassium channels. Tulane, I did research as it relates to ischemic and reperfusion injury and a neonatal piglet heart. And, you know, at that point, if I'm honest with you, I was really interested in human medicine. You know, I wanted to go to med school and I wanted to potentially pursue a career in human neurosurgery. But, you know, as fate would have it, I applied to med school at the same time as I applied to veterinary school and chiropractic school.
Interesting.
I was on a waiting list for two med schools. I got accepted to Tuskegee. That was the only veterinary school I applied to. And I got accepted to a chiropractic school. So my other love other than human medicine was veterinary medicine. So, you know, my dad said, well, you know, maybe this is your calling. So that's kind of how I got into that's how I kind of got into veterinary medicine. And then as fate would have it again, two of my veterinary classmates, literally my first week in veterinary school, because at that point, I had my mind made up that I was going to go to vet school and then I was going to go to med school afterwards. Well, when I got to veterinary school, like I said, my first 2 weeks in class, my classmate said, hey, you know, you can do neurology for dogs and cats. And I said, really? So a Tuskegee grad by the name of Dr. Charles T. Lowry, class of 1970, if I'm not mistaken, he was a faculty member at Michigan State. And he was serving as the clinical veterinary neurologist and neurosurgeon. So I'm from Akron, Ohio. So, you know, Big Ten country. So I told my parents about the opportunity. I met Dr. Lowry at a Tuskegee symposium. Every year Tuskegee has like a veterinary homecoming. And I had a chance to meet him in my first year. And, you know, he said, Antonio, it would be a pleasure to have you come up. And I drove up to Michigan State. I stayed 2 weeks with him at his home, and I was pretty much sold. Wow. And then between spending time at Michigan State, I spent some time with Dr. Robert Seltzer, rest in peace. Mm. He was the neurologist at Tennessee. Spent a lot of time with him and, you know, also spent time at Ohio State, Cornell, and some other academic institutions because Tuskegee at the time, we did not have a neurologist on faculty. So basically I had to go out and seek my opportunities.
Wow. Amazing. And so tell me what you're doing now. Because you're like the traveling surgeon here, I understand.
So basically for the past 10 years, I've been practicing in the area of clinical veterinary neurology and neurosurgery. I am residency trained. I did I graduated from Tuskegee in 2003, did a rotating internship at the University of Missouri in 2003, 2004. Then I was fortunate enough to get a veterinary neurology and neurosurgery fellowship. At the time that I applied for residencies, the first year they only had 5 programs in the country and 3 slots. And then the second year when I applied, they had 8 programs and 5 slots. Well, knowing the odds, you know, and you have to compete against, you know, other colleagues from other veterinary schools, I said, well, let me also look abroad. And then, you know, things just kind of opened up. I took German in middle school. So it just so happened I had a colleague that I worked with closely that was a Texas A&M graduate, Dr. Ron Green, who was an adjunct professor at the University of Zurich at the Tierspital. And he said, you know, Antonio, had you looked abroad? And I said, yes, actually. So I interviewed, things worked out. And so to kind of get back to the initial question, I started a practice. I was practicing by myself for 5 years, and I started a partnership. Things didn't quite work out. And so now I am providing locum veterinary neurology and neurosurgery services. So I have a love for teaching, a passion for educating clients, and ultimately, you know, trying to enhance the human-animal bond by, you know, helping these furry family members get better again, whether it's walking, whether it's, you know, having their seizure disorder under control. So it's been a great journey.
It's such a great thing to hear that, you know, in terms of traveling neurology, because I can't begin to tell you, just as a private practitioner myself for 18 years, and the I have such an affinity for neurology myself, but I see quite a few back dogs, and how quickly, as you know, timing is as important with certain instances, that it must be really nice that you can partner with the veterinarian along that treatment plan.
Yeah, it is. Basically, the way things work now, I usually provide services on a mobile basis to general practitioners in the area. And also, I travel out of state to provide services for referral/specialty hospitals that are trying to establish a neurology neurosurgery service, or just kind of filling in for a colleague that needs to take some time off. So it's really great. Yeah. You know, I've been really blessed to have some great mentors, Dr. Peter James Early, Dr. Peter Gordon. You know, they've been very gracious in terms of, you know, kind of being a champion for me over the years. So, I got exposed to, the locum aspect through Dr. Early, and, it's very different than practicing at one particular hospital.
Yeah.
It makes you gain a greater appreciation for how others do things. As you know, based upon where you went to veterinary school, based upon, you know, doctors you worked under or mentors, sure, or your residency process, there's different ways to approach a particular case. And so I was real fortunate enough that I've worked with so many great colleagues in the veterinary neurology and neurosurgery space that I just kind of, you know, sat back and observed how they did things, and just kind of adapted my own style and technique and approach in terms of, you know, not just treating the patient, but also better communicating with clients.
I love that, because I think our profession's so much about mentoring and mentorship. So aligning yourself and finding someone, like you just said, and really kind of support you along the way is really crucial. I remember when I was in vet school, I was at Iowa State when I went to vet school.
Okay. And Dr. Klein.
Yes, I was just going to say, Dr. Karen Klein was...
I spent time with her.
Really?
I spent time with Dr. Klein before she, I think she moved to Washington State.
Awesome
colleague.
An incredible human being. And she was the one that kind of sparked my interest right then and there, that I love neurology because of her. And I was on my rotation, and I just happened to be heavily involved with the docs. And I said to them when I was practicing or on my rotation, I was like, our paths are going to cross, the docs and I. And lo and behold, you know, I have 4. But yeah, it's nice because she was my mentor back then. And then we have a local neurologist in the area, Dr. Jemiah Tracy. And he just recently moved, but he was another one that I would learn so many great things from him. But I got to ask you, as a veterinarian, what is the most common area that you see the disc issue? Is it a T12, T13? Like, do you have a top number that's like the area? Is it more cervical?
I know. Yeah, I would say, I would say for the most part, it's either T12, T13, T13, L1 or L1, L2. I think when you look at the veterinary literature, you know, depending upon whether it's a chondrodystrophic breed or non-chondrodystrophic breed, I think, you know, your T12, T13 area and L1, L2 are going to be your most common.
Yeah. It just seems.
Yeah. And then usually, what I found over the years is that, you know, our small to medium, small to toy breed dogs, those are the patients most commonly that I see in the clinics for cervical disc disease. And the toy breed dogs that are, you know, either adult or geriatric, those are the patients that I've seen over the years that tend to have multiple cervical disc disease. And these patients typically just have gait abnormalities, not necessarily painful, but they just have gait abnormalities that the owners are starting to appreciate. And, you know, when you perform either, you know, a Milo CT scan, CT scan, or MRI scan, you realize that these patients have, you know, multiple type 2 disc disease all along their cervical region. Mm-hmm.
Do you try to do fenestration while you're in there then? Do you think that that helps a little bit?
Yes. So the way I was trained, you know, fenestration is definitely something that I'm an advocate for when it comes to the thoracolumbar disc disease. Sometimes in the lumbar area can be a little bit difficult. Over the years, as far as the cervical region, depending upon how bad it is, and you know what options are available to the owners, I will even perform surgery in terms of the ventral slot for the cervical area. I will perform it in multiple areas. If it's two adjacent areas, I'll do the ventral slot. I'll just make my slot a little bit smaller than normal, but big enough where I can try to get as much disc material out. I have done procedures where I may do two here, skip a disc, and then do another ventral slot. With the benefits of, you know, medical management, K laser therapy, and hyperbaric oxygen treatments, I was one of the only hospitals in the state of Texas to have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, and we used hyperbaric oxygen therapy along with, you know, if patients needed physiotherapy or what have you, to help these patients kind of, you know, get by until, you know, the owners were ready to make a decision. And obviously I'm talking about patients that are either adult or geriatric, but I have implemented, you know, K laser therapy as well as hyperbarics as well.
I was talking to Dr. Tim Crow. I don't know if you know him, he's a veterinarian, but he's a big advocate for hyperbaric oxygen chambers too. And in terms of neurologic issues and road to recovery kind of a thing. But yeah, that's what I do enjoy with the recovery, that there's so many different multi-modalities and integrative medicine that complements it. Do you find something, I know it's so hard to tell because I get it, but like, do you find that there's something that works better than others? Is it like acupuncture? Is it treadmill therapy? Is it physical therapy? Is it all of it, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's case by case.
Right.
I would say that, you know, every veterinarian is different. I am not opposed to acupuncture, but it's more of a last resort. And I usually recommend it for patients where clients have financial issues and surgery is not an option, but the patient's painful. And we've exhausted all of our options in terms of tramadol, gabapentin, amantadine, fentanyl patches, maybe some hyperbaric oxygen treatments or K-laser. So it's really a case-by-case scenario, depending upon whether the patient has some type of you know, hyperesthesia, whether it's in the cervical region or thoracolumbar region, along with gait abnormalities. I'm definitely, and it has its place, I am definitely not a fan for chiropractic medicine if patients have a neurologic problem where intervertebral disc disease is anywhere on my differential list.
Right.
It's just too much of a gamble to have any type of spinal manipulation performed, knowing that that's a strong possibility or differential.
Yeah, no, good. Good to know. All great information. And mm-hmm. Dr. Bowens, you know, there's another Dr. Bowens in the house too, I understand.
Yes. My better half and every sense, in every sense of the word. My wife, Priscilla Eileen Madison Bowens, she's not only a veterinarian, but she has a master's in public health, and she's also an attorney. So, you know, I walk and tread very lightly. I know my lane, but no, she's a phenomenal woman and, you know, great writer. And she's a excellent public speaker. And she definitely has a passion for not just medicine, but also public health and law as it relates to the health profession. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you both are just making names and waves and change, and I love it. With her and the One Health Initiative is just absolutely fantastic. And she'll be on the show too, you guys. So we're going to be getting the other Dr. Bowens on the podcast as well. But
yes, MD plus DVM.
I love it. That's right. That's the name of her mm-hmm. YouTube show. So mm-hmm.
MD plus DVM.
Yep. So the one question that I get asked a lot is with when there's two veterinarians that are together, how do you guys manage your work life? You're the father of two girls. Your wife is a veterinarian, an attorney. You know, how does Antonio find Antonio within this family?
Well, number one, you have to put your pride aside and realize it's not about you. You as an individual have made a decision to make somebody a part of your life. That's marriage. You know, there's no I in team. There's an ME in there, but there's no I in team. And it's tough. It's tough with the long hours that we work in the veterinary profession and also in the legal profession. It's tough. And so there has to be sacrifices that have to be made. And you have to do what's in the best interest of not only your spouse, but you have to do what's in the best interest of your kids. You know, my dad was a CPA and a pastor. My mom was a nurse that work with mental patients. And I saw how they kind of navigated things, you know, throughout the house. And you got to realize that kids didn't ask to be here. Mm-hmm. So you have to make the necessary sacrifices to make things work so you can be a presence in the home. You know, the one thing that I didn't want to do, and Priscilla's in aligned with this, is, you know, once the kids, you know, get to high school or college, we don't want it to be a thing where, okay, now we can spend time with you. Because, you know, kids spell love differently than we do. Yeah. The way they spell love is T-I-M-E and time. They don't care about, you know, how many hours you work, where you work. They don't care about your job title, what kind of car you drive. You know, they want that quality time. And so Priscilla and I, we just try our best, you know, and we're not perfect, but we try our best to try to manage the household and put the kids in a good situation where it's a home of not necessarily just, you know, it's all about work, but a home of love and fun and laughter.
Thank you.
It's definitely a joint effort.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I can only imagine how tough it's gotta be now, even with COVID, right? Right, like, are the kids going back to school? Are they not? What are we doing with work?
So the kids are going to be homeschooled this year, and I'm already sweating.
Right.
I'm already sweating.
I mean, because talk to me, like, fifth grade math and higher. Ooh.
Yeah. You know, you have to. You know, so now instead of just being, you know, a parent and a spouse and a professional, you have to be a referee, a teacher, a coach, a life coach, you know, it's tough. It's tough. You know, you could have a meeting and the kids, you know, they break into the, because my two-year-old, it doesn't matter. She comes first. So you could be right in the middle of a Zoom meeting and she's like, Daddy, I need applesauce. And so, you know, it's tough. It's yeah. tough. And so, you know, my heart goes out to other parents that are going to have to deal with this, or I shouldn't say deal with it, but manage it, because it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, it makes you have a greater appreciation for what, you know, school teachers bring to the table. I mean, they really have to manage a lot. You know, it's tough for me to just get one to two individuals to try to focus, let alone a class of 15, 20 young students that, you know, they get tired of sitting there for 10, 15 minutes. And yeah, it's a challenge. So,
yeah, I give you much respect for that. It's not easy trying to work and then have the kids amongst a pandemic. So,
right.
Dr. Bones, where can we find more information about you? Should we have any questions or want to reach out? Do you have any email address or anything?
Yes. BowensAntonio, the number 35 at gmail.com. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be on the podcast with you. I definitely want to give you your recognition as well for stepping out there and trying to shake up the veterinary profession. We as veterinarians, as colleagues, you know, it's our responsibility to, you know, not necessarily to just do good work, but also to spread love amongst colleagues, clients, promote diversity and inclusion. Teamwork makes the dream work. And so we all have to work together. And, you know, we all play an intricate part in making this machine run the way that it needs to, you know. And so I appreciate what you're doing at DVM360, and thank you for having me on this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for sharing that and saying that means a lot to me, because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But, you know, one day at a time, and that's how we can make change happen and make progress happen. And so I'm just honored to be a part of it. And a little birdie told me that I'm going to be having you speak at an upcoming Fetch conference. What? What, you guys? So it's going to be Dr. Bowen squared, you guys. Both him and his wife will be speaking at our fall virtual Fetch conference. So there'll be more of the Dr. Bowens to hear from with their great content. So stay tuned for that as well. So, and thank you for joining me, Dr. Bowens. And thank you to everybody out there for tuning in here at the Vet Blast podcast. We will chat with you all next week. Stay pawsome. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.